The Old Testament reading for this, the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 51st chapter. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places, and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. Fear the Lord, you his saints. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The epistle reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 11th and 12th chapters. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel comes to us according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Inland hurricane, derecho, the storm. Whatever you want to call it, it hit us hard, didn't it? I'm sure everybody here knows about the destruction that it wrought as winds well over 100 miles an hour, a wall of wind swept through central Iowa, crushing grain bins, snapping trees off like twigs, wreaking havoc, taking power out for thousands upon thousands of people, some of whom still don't have power today. It's a mess out there. And I'm guessing every one of you has some damage, has a story to tell, or knows somebody who suffered greatly from this storm. As I've moved around in different towns and seen the destruction, I've also seen something else. I've seen a number of flags and signs and hashtags on social media, things that say things like Iowa strong, CR strong, Clarence strong, storm strong. It means we're strong. We're going to get through this. When you ask most Iowans how they did in the storm, the answer is, oh, not bad. And we list the buildings that were destroyed, the animals that wound up in the next county over, and all the crops that were destroyed. And then we end it by saying, but all in all, things could have been much worse. That's Iowa strong. We can do it. We can get through this. And even before the storm, I'm sure you've seen that kind of shorthand for lots of different causes. Rallying cries meant to bring us together, to proclaim we're going to get through this. We're tough. We've got what it takes to overcome whatever adversity may have befallen us. We will fight destruction. We will fight cancer. We will fight terrorism and injustice and anything else that comes our way. And we will overcome. We will win because we are stronger than anything. We are powerful. We are resilient. We are determined. And we will not admit defeat. And that is a great attitude to have. Sometimes. Sometimes, though, it's better to admit you can't do it. Sometimes it's better to admit that you are not strong. You are weak. You are incapable. That you need someone's help. Have you asked yourself, why did these storms happen? For that matter, why has this whole janky year of 2020 been happening the way that it is? We could say it's bad luck or global warming or the fault of the other political party. But maybe there's something far deeper to it than just that. Maybe it's God reminding us that we are not strong. We are not able to overcome. That we do need Him, His protection, His power, His guidance, His grace, His strength. Because let's face it, every disaster, every calamity, every sickness, every single death, it's all a reminder of the final judgment that is to come. No matter how much we might think it won't, no matter where our faith might lie, all people will stand before the judgment throne of Jesus Christ and Him alone. When He comes in glory on the last day with all the company of angels, all people will stand before Him for final judgment. And every time we see death, every disaster, it's a reminder. It's a wake-up call. It's a call to repentance. He says through the prophet Isaiah, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner." For all humanity's claims of being able to do anything that we put our minds to, of being the best and the strongest, and we don't need anything else, we've been reminded over and over again this year and throughout our entire lives that many, many things are beyond our control, that our lives are fragile and easily disrupted. We can't control the weather. We can't control how well the crops are going to do. We can't even control if we have internet or not. And so what makes us think that we can control eternal things? If we take that warning to heart, that call from God that we need Him, we realize there is no chance that we can control anything in the spiritual realm. If we look at things honestly, which, to be honest, we rarely do, we see what a mess of things we sinners make when we try to pretend we don't need God. Our society is claiming that families are not necessary, and so we see society crumbling, acting like animals without discipline, control, or reason. Our culture says sex is just a game. Marriage can be whatever we want. And then we act shocked that people are now trying to normalize polygamy, polyamory, even pedophilia. Our world says life is disposable. Euthanasia is good. Abortion is a right. And as thousands upon thousands of babies are murdered for the sake of convenience, we lament that there aren't enough youth out there to support Social Security anymore. Wonder why. Every time we disregard God's word, we suffer deeply for it. Everything of God's that we discard and try to improve upon, it winds up being a chaotic, destructive cesspool of ruin and filth. We are not able to make anything better. We sinners are not wise. We are not good. We are not strong. And so we shouldn't take pride in ourselves. We shouldn't think more of ourselves than we ought. We shouldn't boast of our superiority, our cleverness, our strength. Instead, we should heed God's warnings. We should mourn and lament our sinful ways. We should humble ourselves before the Lord, confessing that we have done so much damage, so much wrong, so much sin. And that without His strength, that's all that we can possibly do. Instead of trying to soldier through on our own, we should rend our hearts and cry out to God for mercy. Instead of pretending that we can handle anything that comes our way, we should admit that we are powerless and need God to handle every single thing in our lives. Instead of pretending we have sin under control and can take care of it ourselves, we need to confess to God that we are poor, miserable sinners who time and time again disregard His word in thought, word, and deed by what we do and by what we leave undone. Despite what our sinful culture and our own sinful flesh tells us, we are all sinners who deserve God's eternal wrath and condemnation. You can try to justify yourself saying, hey, I'm not as bad as my neighbor is. You can try to find a loophole and say that the Bible doesn't specifically condemn that particular sin you're doing, so it's probably not really a sin. You can try to redefine sin and claim that since society digs it, God probably does too. And we all do. We are all guilty of trying to justify ourselves, of finding some end run around God's word to say, aha, I found something, so I'm okay here. We all try to claim that we are hashtag sin strong, able to overcome and persevere and win the victory ourselves. But we're not. To try to be sin strong, to try to get control over sin and master it yourself, is to fail miserably, to delude yourself, to be enslaved to that same sin that you think you're controlling. You will never get out of the pit of sin by digging deeper. You are by nature sinful and unclean. Trying to handle your own sin is kind of like trying to clean a smudge off a window with a greasy rag. You're never going to get it clean, and you are only going to make it far worse. You and me and every single person in the world, we are in need of someone else to save us. Claiming that we are sin strong, able to overcome on our own, it leads only to death, eternal death. For that is the wages of sin. But to come before God and confess that sin, to acknowledge that you are in desperate need of salvation, to humbly beg for mercy, is to be set free entirely. Because despite your sin, Jesus Christ has paid your price in full. And all those who look to him in faith receive his eternal victory. He is strong. He is omnipotent. He is almighty, all-powerful. All things are in his control. And yet, for your sake, he made himself weak, humbled himself to take on our flesh, to be born of the Virgin Mary, to be born not in a palace surrounded by trumpeters and heralds and clerks of the court, but in a manger, laid there, surrounded by animals, worshipped by lowly shepherds. He humbled himself, made himself the weakest of the weak. But as he did so, he was strong, stronger than any of us could be. For he alone was able to fulfill his own holy law perfectly. He alone was able to walk the path that none of us can, never once sinning, never once giving in to the satanic temptations, never once besmirching himself with the filth of transgression and disobedience to God's word. He is perfect, without spot or blemish. But then he gave himself over in sacrifice. But that sacrifice was not a defeat. It was not a loss. It was not at all a weakness. His sacrifice to death was the greatest show of strength ever. Because as he died in your place, he crushed the serpent's head. He shattered the gates of hell. He erased the eternal consequences of your sin as if it had never happened. By his blood, you are not just made a little bit cleaner, but you are cleansed completely. You are made spotless, as white as snow. Your record of sin is erased, and you are proclaimed holy, innocent, and righteous in the eyes of God. So that when you stand before that judgment throne of Jesus on the last day, you will not point to your own strength, because there is nothing there. But you will point to the cross and the empty tomb. And you will say, "There is my strength. There is my redemption. There is my plea." And you are proclaimed innocent and given the free gift of heaven. We are not strong. But when we fall down before the one true and triune God in repentance and humility, when we look to him in faith and acknowledge our weakness, we find strength and are given strength like never before. We are given power and might and victory. Maybe not in all our earthly struggles, but that's not the end goal anyway. Those things will go away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. When we confess our weakness, that we can't save ourselves, the almighty power of God saves us completely. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Now this doesn't mean that we revel in our sin and take pride in it. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we do struggle against it. We do pray for strength to resist our sinful inclinations. But we recognize that that strength does not come from within, but from our gracious Heavenly Father. God proclaims, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." On our own, we can do nothing worthwhile in this world, and even less with regard to eternal life. But when we recognize that weakness, we see just how strong God truly is. That he is able to take a poor, worthless, helpless sinner like me and make me a holy resident of his eternal kingdom. By recognizing our weakness, we recognize just how great God's strength truly is. We are not sin strong, but God is, and he has given us the victory. Now, this doesn't mean that you need to go home and burn your Iowa Strong signs and rebuke your neighbor for having one in his yard. Take pride in your community and the way that they are handling the aftermath of these storms. Grab a chainsaw and clear some limbs. Bake some raisin bread for your neighbor. Do whatever you can to help out and be grateful for those who do the same. Take pride in the strength of these communities and the resilience that we have. But also take care to recognize where all that strength and ability comes from. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Give thanks to God for his might and grace and protection and power. Not just for everything that he's done for you in dangerous storms, pandemics, and power outages. Especially give thanks to God that he protects you from the daily assaults of the devil. That he gives you his word of life. That he has cleansed you of your sin by his word and his sacraments. Because without those eternal gifts, none of his worldly protection and grace would matter one bit in the long run. So stand strong with your community during difficult and trying times, but know that your strength is nothing compared to the strength of your loving Heavenly Father. He guards and protects you. He gives you the strength that you need each and every day. And most importantly, he has already won the battle that you never could. He has defeated the devil and spared your eternal soul from the fires of hell. Be Iowa strong. Be Loudoun strong. Clarence strong. Cedar County strong. But above all else, be God strong. Admitting your weakness, repenting your sin, acknowledging your desperate need of his salvation, looking to him alone for redemption. For when you do, you are given a strength that even all the forces of hell itself can never overcome. For by the cross of Jesus Christ alone, by his empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of all of your sin, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.